Thank you, Anna, for your introduction. I'm grateful to be presenting and like to thank the organizers for giving us an opportunity to present the paper. The paper is co-authored with my PhD student, Nisansala Wichkun. She must be in the audience. So she will be taking some of the questions, and Professor Grant Semkin was the other supervisor, and myself. We're looking at the decision usefulness of the accounting standard for IFRS for SMEs, and this is evidence from Sri Lanka. This paper is slightly different from the previous one in the sense that this is a qualitative paper, and it draws largely from interview evidence. So it's basically focusing on the users of financial statements for SMEs and how that's fulfilling their information needs. And this has been accomplished through interviews with the user groups. Nisansala was able to carry out those interviews. So the financial reporting by SMEs has attracted a lot of attention, particularly since 2009, when IFRS has been issued for SMEs. So the background here is the accounting standard for IFRS for SMEs was issued on July 2009. And looking at the context, around 1989, we had ISB's conceptual framework. Then we had full IFRS. And after that, we had the IFRS for SMEs. So moving on, even when we look at the IFRS for SMEs, it looks quite simple than the full IFRS. Its framework focuses actually on outside equity investors. That's what it's based on, and as the main users of financial statements. And there have been a lot of literature around that. Devi and Samuj, Evans, and others have covered that. But in the context of SMEs, it appears that the AUNA manager seems to be playing a more critical role, and it's mostly controlled by one or two individuals. We also had RAM 2012, who argues that existing literature does not adequately address the users of SMEs financial statements and what their information needs are. And this becomes problematic for regulators. And as I said, SMEs are mostly AUNA managed. So the AUNAs play quite an instrumental role as far as the financial statements of SMEs is concerned. So what we've seen is that there's a lack of clarity about the users and their users of SME financial statements. Prior literature basically focused on one user groups, whereas in this paper, we are trying to broaden our focus and trying not only to look at the SME owners, but also trying to look at other critical stakeholders, which are basically the Inland Revenue, the government departments, as well as the government, for example, or the lenders, that they are an important players within SMEs. Also, we find lack of evidence on the extent of SMEs financial statements, how it is being used by bank lending officers and income tax officers in order to make appropriate decisions. So that's something we haven't seen a lot of, and we are trying to fill those gaps in the literature. So what we have seen is that the fundamental questions about the identity of the users, who are the users and how do they use SME financial statements, this somewhat remains unexplored, and particularly when we look at research in emerging economies like Sri Lanka or other parts of Asia, we find very limited research on SME financial reporting. So basically, we came up with two research questions. And the first one is, who are the users of Sri Lankan SME financial statements? And the second one is, what users do they make of the SME financial statements? And when you look at Sri Lanka, the accounting goes back from a historical perspective, because we do a bit of historical research as well, and can be traced back to 9th and 10th century. So that's pretty old, and this is going back to the religion, Buddhism, and how the king's resources were being distributed by Buddhism. And there's a lot of things that was going on earlier in the 9th and 10th century. Accounting were written around stones and so on, coming from the accounting history literature. And the unique thing about Sri Lanka is that it's an early adopter of IFRS for SME in the Asian region. And that is something this study is trying to uncover. So they were the front runners as far as SME's financial reporting in the Asia region was concerned. So the contribution that we are trying to make in this paper are as follows. We are trying to provide fresh insights on the decision usefulness of the accounting standard IFRS for SMEs and also up-to-date empirical data on users and the financial information from this research. And also because there's a limited empirical literature about the users and users of SME financial statements, particularly in emerging economies, our results are of special relevance to national and international standard setters who are grappling with the ongoing development of financial reporting frameworks for SMEs. So we are trying to contribute academically as well as practical contribution to the accounting profession. From the literature, we have many research like Baca and Noonan, Collis, Jarvis, and others. And they survey the views of a single user group. And what we are trying to do is we are trying to capture the views of multiple stakeholders. And also, Nissan Sola finds that the literature is pretty much dated, because most has been collected prior to 2010, and 2009 is special because this is when the IFRS was released for SME, and in many countries, including Sri Lanka. So it's important that the data is updated and it's more current, and we are also lacking evidence on who the users of financial information are and what are their information needs. So postal questionnaire surveys with owners of SMEs and auditors of SME financial statements. This is something that we mostly dominates the literature. We haven't have seen very little of going into the field and talking to the user groups, which this research tries to do. And we found one literature which was in Vietnam, done by Dang Duc and others. But their research has not evaluated the decision usefulness of SME financial statements in an emerging economy. So the decision usefulness of the IFRS by SMEs has not been adequately explored. Now, because it's a qualitative research, we also have a theoretical underpinning behind it. And what we use is the new institutional sociology. And basically, we have been looking around two different forms of isomorphism. And this is first one is coercive. This is means the use of force. And that could come from, like, Sri Lanka is very much dependent on international aid agencies like the World Bank and the Asian Development Bank, and they can be pushing for new ways of reporting information which is aligned with the international accounting standards of IFRS. And we also see elements of normative isomorphism or normative profession which emanates from the accounting profession. So Sri Lanka is an early adopter of IFRS for SMEs in the Asian region and requires all non-public accountable entities to comply with the IFRS for SMEs for the reporting period. And this is after 1st of January 2012. Every SME has to report according to the needs of IFRS. And obviously, the financial reporting in Sri Lanka is historically goes back to 9th and 10th century. There's lots written by Lien Rajci 2009 in the Accounting History Journal. It talked about the Buddhists and how they were trying to convey accounting information orally, actually, and lots of things were engraved around stones and all those things. So yeah, that's basically largely following IFRS is following the company template. That's what I'm going to do here. And the financial reporting environment in Sri Lanka, we have lots of historical evidence that Buddhist monasteries were required to maintain accounting records, and they were also expected, going back 9th and 10th century, to read these records publicly every year to show accountability. The British colonial period is also seen as very significant in influencing the Sri Lankan accounting practices. It's coming from Narayan and others, 2002, and I think it's a Asian Development Bank report. So, looking at the evolution of financial reporting for Sri Lanka, we find that prior to 2012 is when they were expected to adopt the IFRS for SMEs. We had the Tier 1, that was a Sri Lankan accounting standards and framework for preparation and presentation of financial statements. 2012 to 2015, we had Tier 1, which was the Sri Lankan financial reporting standards, and Tier 2, we had to comply with the Sri Lankan financial reporting standards for SMEs, which is IFRS, actually. And 2016, we have got FRS for SMEs and Sri Lanka financial reporting standards for smaller entities. So those tiers are covered here. Tier 1 is basically Sri Lankan accounting standards, and SBs is a company with a public accountability. Tier 2 is basically small and medium-sized entities without public accountability. And Tier 3 is the Sri Lanka accounting standards for smaller entities, which effective from January 2016, and they cover the revenue that the company should be reporting on. So the research questions we are posing is, who are the users of the financial statements for SMEs, and what users do they make of the SME financial statements? The method, Nishan Sala actually went to Sri Lanka and conducted interviews with 41 participants, and they were coming from 6 user groups, which can be seen from the table, to investigate SME users and their financial information needs. AUNA managers covered most significant part of the interviews. There are 6 accountants, talked to bank lending officers. These are all different users. Income tax officers were also interviewed, standard setters, and the government institutions. The interview instrument was initially done in English, and then it was translated into Sinhala, because most people in Sri Lanka speak Sinhala, so that's why it had to be converted so that the interviews could understand what they were being asked. And we had followed percussive and snowball sampling techniques, and also followed expected requested for ethics approval from University of Waikato Ethics Committee. So the results, the first research question, who are the users of Sri Lankan SME financial statements? We basically had the banks, Inland Revenue Department, and the government institutions were the most important users. And income tax officers and bank officers use financial statements basically for taxation and for lending purposes. And we also saw the government institutions who use the financial statements, example, the Board of Investment of Sri Lanka. When we spoke to the AUNA managers, they tended to use, they were not so much using the financial statements, but what they were telling us was that they relied more on internal information or internal reporting systems. They had their own record keeping, just like money in, money out book, and they thought they could capture a lot of information there, and that to them was more useful than the financial statements. So they basically seem to be not using financial statements for the business decision making. And also the non-governmental suppliers and customers were not identified as users of SME financial statements. So stewardship specifically is one of the objectives of SME in Sri Lanka. It doesn't seem to be working as what we would have expected, particularly it's built around the equity holders. So the second question was, what users do they make of the SME financial statements? Most SME owners who were interviewed said, well, look, our financial statements are prepared by external accountants, the chartered accounting firms. And basically, why we do that is just to submit it for taxation purposes. And in contrast to the IASB's view on the usefulness of SME financial statement for lending decisions, there was a consensus among banking lending officers that the financial statements provided by SME have limited use for lending decisions. And I think the banks were basically trying to work around collateral in order to give lending to the SMEs. So what users, the second question still, both income tax officers and bank lending officers also raised serious issues with the reliability of financial statements. They said possibly Some of the firms the SMEs were using were possibly kind of not giving proper or reliable records. I think the text was being manipulated, and those sorts of things came out of the interview. Quality and credibility of external professional accountants who provide in accounting and auditing services to SMEs also appear to be troublesome for bank lending officers and income tax officers. And this is basically attributed to the weak legal and regulatory mechanism in Sri Lanka, which aggravates the situation. So just going to the conclusion, I think I've got a couple of minutes. So stewardship is not one of the main objectives of SME financial reporting, as what we can see from this paper. Users of SME financial statements perceive little decision usefulness of SME statements, and it appears that poor governance and low enforcement of rules and regulation in Sri Lanka impact on the quality and credibility of SME financial reporting. For example, SMEs tend to alter their financial statements for tax purposes. And we also find that other stakeholders like suppliers, customers, employees, and non-manager owners are not important users of the SME financial statements. And we expect policymakers to adopt effective mechanisms to minimize non-compliance with rules and regulations of the country. Finally, the research suggests that the Chartered Accountants of Sri Lanka should pay a greater attention to SME financial reporting and ensure that it takes steps to make it credible, relevant, and appropriate to the financial reporting needs of users of SME financial statements. And this can be done through education, registration, and monitoring of their accountant and auditor members. Thank you.
Thank you, Umesh, for this clear presentation. We'll now hear from Helen Young, and you have 10 minutes.
Thank you. I just upload my slides here. Well, thank you for the opportunity for me to comment on this paper, and thank you to the authors for their thorough field work to collect the data. That's one of the highlights of this paper. Now, I would like to comment on a number of things that I believe can help the authors to improve the paper. First of all, the research objective and contributions. The research objective is quite timely to address the issue of the IFRS for SME in the emerging countries context. And they also address this in the context of Sri Lanka. In terms of the users and the use, as well as the usefulness of SME financial statements, the authors took great effort to collect a range of data which we normally don't see so much in the empirical study based in emerging economy, partly because of the difficulty to access to those data. So congratulations to authors for such a hard work. In terms of the paper's contribution, it is, like I mentioned, it's a timely empirical evidence from a qualitative research perspective, which complement the quantitative research especially in the context of stakeholders' perception in terms of who are the users and how they use and how useful the general purpose financial statement of SME. So they conducted 41 interviews, which provide very rich data to get to know what's happening in the emerging countries context, like Sri Lanka. So some observations here in terms of the research objective and contributions. Umesh has explained quite well in his presentation, but when I read the paper, some of those key points seem to be like a treasure hidden in the paper. So I believe there are areas for further improvement. For example, the title of the paper is looking at the decision usefulness of IFRS for SME. This can be better aligned with what you stated, research objectives and research questions. So this is my observation. And also in terms of in the paper, Umesh explained quite clearly in the presentation, but when I read the paper, there are a number of terms used which cause some confusion. For example, users and users group and stakeholders of the financial statements of SME in your paper, page 6 to page 8. In terms of the users, you do need to have a clear definition. What do you mean by users here for this context? And users group, in particular, the owner management. So that's I'm going to touch on that a bit further in the next slide. And also the definition of SME, you mentioned that in the research instrument, in the research method, but it would be good to give a clear introduction of what is the context of SME in Sri Lankan, especially how they are measured, how they are classified, given SME is so diversely defined in different countries. This is related to my earlier comment in terms of the clarity is needed to explain the IFRS for SME. This is the, I quote the IFRS for SME section 2.2 and 2.3. They're actually the primary objective of the IFRS for SME financial statement is to provide information useful for economic decision making by a broad range of users of the financial statements and who are not in a position to demand reports tailored to meet their particular information needs. And the secondary one is the stewardship of management. So in the paper, the primary objective of the SME financial statement seemed to be hidden. I couldn't find that. So which I think there is a room for improvement to at least to acknowledge the primary objective of financial statement is for external users. And also IASB does not prescribe who are the users. They only give indicative examples like credit lenders, etc. So I think that that part needs to be acknowledged in the literature review. And another one, the second point is, I believe care should be taken in terms of the paper's statement that the IASB consultation process gave little consideration to users' participation. I think that's a big claim and that needs to be substantiated. Also, the statement about, for example, the decision usefulness approach is not based upon scientific approach. So those are really big statements and that do need to have a thorough literature review to back up those statements. And the reason I'm saying that is because that statement seemed to be contradictory to what's currently happening at IASB and the work has been done recently by IASB. For example, the Hensie and his associates published in 2021 about the comprehensive review of IFRS for SME. So there are user survey, there are user interview. So I suggest to include that into the literature review, to update the literature review. Okay, next one is about the research design. It's really good to have this thorough field work with 41 interviews, but I would like to see more about the why we conduct interview, why survey is left behind, or how the interview can complement the survey method. So I want to see more about the research methodology in terms of justification for the chosen method. And also in terms of the participation or stakeholders, on what basis that those stakeholders are identified, especially given that more than 50% of your interviewees are owners, managers, which by definition, they are not, technically, they are not in the scope of users according to ISB for SME framework. So how these owners managers, what's their role in the research? I can see why owners managers included, because they are the one to run business and they are the one to use financial information, but they're not the one to rely on financial statement, because FSME is not tailored for them, because owners managers, they have access to those information. So that needs to be explained in a bit more depth. Also, it would be good to include the time period that interview has been undertaken. So that one is missing. So it would be good to give a full picture of the time of the interview so that people can have an understanding the background of the interview were undertaken and the insights from the interviewees. Also, in terms of interpretation of the findings, Umesh mentioned in the presentation that neo-institutionalism, institutional theory will be used to interpret the results and frame the questions, but that's not spelled out in your paper. So it would be good. You already addressed in your presentation, but I haven't seen that in the paper. So that's my last point there. And then again, the comments from the owners, from owner managers, needs to be better placed in the context of the research objective of the question, research objective of the paper and your research questions. And also, you pointed out that the problems of the usefulness of IFRS for SME in Sri Lankan context is not the standard issue. It's not standard per se. It's the institutional factor, enforcement, the education of suitable qualified accountants, and among other institutional factors, which is quite common to some emerging economies. So I think one of the contributions of this paper can be elaborated in terms of how the accounting education providers, how they can improve the training of future accountants in collaboration with IASB. So that could be a future direction for in terms of research. So that's pretty much, I also list some references that you may find useful. And that's all from my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. I found your presentation, your comments very constructive, and I hope Umesh and his co-authors will find them useful as well. Can I just remind you that you can post questions in the chat box while we hear the discussion in the next paper, and then we'll take these questions in the joint Q&A session. And now we'll hear from Tadeu, who will provide the standard setter discussion.
Okay, Katie, good morning, everybody. Can you see the presentation?
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Umesh, thank you very much for your presentation. I fully agree with Helen. There are some hidden treasure in your presentation that would be very helpful if you can add them to the paper. But again, thank you very much for the paper. 1 second here. Okay. This study, it does provide insights on the adoption or the application of IFRS for SMEs in a specific developing economy, Sri Lanka, in our case. This is something that the standard setters are really interested in getting evidence about the use of the standard around the world, because all this granularity, and then if we can get some insight, and then it was a very interesting range of people interviewed, and it does help to get, as I said, the insights about how the standards and the financial statements are used, especially considering the fact that this qualitative nature of your study. Well, you said that in your literature review session, you mentioned a study that states that the existing conceptual framework for SME in Sri Lanka is largely based on the large and or listed companies template. I mean, that actually making a reference to the IFRS for SMEs. I think that's important just to make a point here that actually I was expecting a suggestion about the parts in the framework that are not appropriate for small and medium entities, and maybe it could be included at the second step in your study. As far as I know, the IFRS conceptual framework does not put itself as a framework for large or listed company. Actually, it can acknowledge that assessment of costs and benefits may vary from entity to entity and will not always justify the same reporting requirements. And it states that difference may be appropriate because of different size of entities. But I think that's very much on the heart of what we are discussing here. And also different ways of raising capital. Also important here, whether it's publicly or privately. And of course, again, different users' needs or other factors. I mean, that all these actually is discussed and treated in the current IFRS framework. I would be interested in a study pointing out, now going into the framework, not the standards, why this is not appropriate for SME as well. I mean, that what would be exactly the points in the framework that doesn't fit? If it's just users, I mean, that is a given information. I mean, that the IFRS framework's based or actually looking at the primary users, lenders, investors, it's true, but says that it might also help the others users as well. I mean, it can be useful. I mean, that just trying to understand exactly what would be the point within the framework that would not be suitable for SMEs, a bit more granular information about that. You said, and Helen touched on this, on the ISP gave little consideration to users' participation in the consultation process during the development of the standard. The major commentators were auditors, accountants, and standard setters. Well, despite users are, or the primary users, are key to the process of developing the standards, historically, we do not get many comment letters from them because they don't write. And then we have to, I mean, that I use a word here, is chase the users to get information from them. Usually we get formal comment letters, not from them, but it doesn't mean we do not listen to them. The outreach process goes beyond the comment letters. And for example, and Helen said that one, we have a user survey at this moment in our second comprehensive review of IFRS for SME. In the first phase, that was the request for information. We have indeed interviewed many users in this process, one-to-one interview with the lenders. For example, just a very specific issue, thinking about the alignment of the IFRS for SME with IFRS 16. We try to understand from the lenders whether the information, actually the definition of lease and bringing all the lease to the balance sheet would be helpful, how they collect this information. And this is something, for example, it's not exactly in your study, but for example, how does it work in Sri Lanka? I mean, is there a credit system that you can access? You mentioned collaterals and et cetera, but sometimes the central banks or the credit system, the finance authority, they have some information that can be cross-referenced. All this kind of information is important to put into the context. Why, for example, the use of the financial statements, IFRS for SME financial statements, may not be very something that you can see a lot in the region, because actually users may have another way of collecting the information. But this is just to make the point. And then Helen said that I would suggest as well to update the literature to refer to these surveys and also to the due process, the handbook due process of FRS Foundation that indeed consider the view of the users. Okay, just starting that you wrote that most of the SMEs had a limited number of owners and were owned and managed by family members, and non-managed owners were not identified as users of SME financial statements. I think that you did a very good job interviewing a good range of people, which can indeed help to provide us insights about how the standards and the financial statements are used. In the IFRS framework, we, in a certain way, assume that owner managers do not use the financial statements for business decision making. I think that Helen made this point as well. And if I can rephrase it, actually, the framework assumes that they do not need the financial statements as they make use of the data that is internally generated through their systems, the format, and the time that they need for running their businesses. And therefore, they are by definition, not considered one of the primary users because they can simply access the information in a more convenient way for them. Therefore, it is not expected for us that owner manager do not use the financial statements for business decision making. But I think that's important and to get this confirmatory information. And again, I understood from your comment that the interview also helped you to identify the other potential users. When we are interviewing the preparers, of course, you can understand what they do with the financial statements. And then it helps to identify another, to understand the needs of the other potential users. And then it helps to collaborate some of the results from the interview with other potential users, for example, lenders. You mentioned that SME in Sri Lanka is an important part of the economy. It would be interesting if you can provide information about the size of the companies. Again, your presentation, you provide a very, very good example and sample distribution of the SME. What are they using? For example, you didn't mention the Sri Lanka gap for smaller entities. I think that's important to understand that not all SMEs are applying IFRS for SMEs. I think that just to put into the context, they stood, I think that's important to add this to the study. I suppose you might have definitely medium entities with a reasonable level of revenue and at the same time, micro entities. I acknowledge the limitation you referred to in your study in terms of the definition that you have used for SME, but I believe this study, considering comparing the results for different sizes of SMEs would provide even more insightful information. Your finding indicates as well that the needs of tax authorities and lending agencies should be taken into consideration this standard setting process. Again, we acknowledge that one. I think here again, your point is the framework, but especially for the tax authorities, considering the framework as well as some of the user, but they are not lenders or creditors. And then it would be important this interaction with the concept of the general purpose financial reporting be explored in relation to the needs of the tax authority that you refer. But I got your point, and I believe that it is the heart of your study. I mean, about shall we take these other users into the framework? I mean, that it's not saying that it's something that we do not agree or agree. It's just the point of your study, whether the framework should be reviewed to also incorporate this one. But at this moment, it doesn't incorporate. I mean, that's not part of the primary uses of the financial statements. But I will comment this on the next slide. You said that from our findings that exists little decision usefulness of SME financial statements for owner managers, bank lending officers, and income tax officers. I think that if we can have one conclusion in relation to the entire study, I think that this is the strongest one. I mean, that saying that it doesn't help these three considered main users in your study. This itself doesn't mean that the framework is inappropriate. It could have asked users, for example, in general, whether they would like to receive a good set of financial statements prepared in accordance with IFRS per SME, duly audited by a renowned audit firm. I'm sure that if you ask them, they would say, yes, I would like to receive this financial statement. And I'm sure that this would be useful. But the point is to assess the cost benefit of the implementation of this. Helen also mentioned this one. I mean, that is a matter of assessing the environment in Sri Lanka in terms of education, not only for preparers, but as you mentioned, for auditors. I mean, the entire system might probably need to be also studied, and not necessarily this is because of the IFRS for SME, but I think based on your study, that's very much based because of the environment in the country. And then the study could assess whether a country could consider requiring IFRS for SME for some, but not all SMEs. And this is something I did not collect from your study, but from your presentation that you have read on it. But it would be interesting to make a kind of segregation between the different sizes of the companies. And then we can understand better exactly what is the demand. I'm sure that there are some medium entities that they might have other owners, they might want to collect or to raise money, funding from banks and et cetera. And finally, what we would like to receive, if you can do that in your study, a bit more specific proposals for our current second comprehensive review of the IFRS for the SME, whether we can do something, again, what we are discussing in the framework, but can we do something at this moment that based on your study that could be taken into consideration in our second comprehensive review of IFRS SME, if you can be a bit more specific. And you haven't mentioned our micro entity guidance. I think that it was, despite it was based on our 2009 IFRS for SME standard, it's still something that I think it's worth mentioning because it considers some smaller entities and some needs and make it a more simple language for our standard. With that, hand back to Anna. Thank you very much.